Welcome back, one and all, to another Frantastic Monday on the Damage Report with me, John Adirola, and Francesca Fiorentini herself. How is it going?
What's up, everybody? It's okay. You know, I hope everything's good this week. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like last week and like many months, everything's been bad. Mm-hmm. But I got a good feeling about the week of July 18th.
Yeah, we need to get a who's the guy that freaks out over financial news and he's like the wacky inflatable guy. What's
Kramer,
his name? Kramer.
Michael. Yeah.
We need to get a system like his, like Jim Cramer's, for the sort of news that we're gonna get. Like, I would go so far today to say that so far the news isn't bad. Oh. I would classify it as not good. But that's better. That's moving in the right direction, sure, which for me is to the left.
I'll take not bad.
Yeah, we need like one of those like magic eight balls to tell us what kind of news. But anyway, no, I mean, look, it's not good. We got some bad people. We have a few figures popping up on the show today that I've not talked about in quite a while. I'm actually quite excited about it. We've got some international news that I would classify as devastating. So that'll be interesting. But we also have an inspirational, not inspirational in terms of the content, but we have an ad from a politician who is themselves inspirational. And I don't know about you, but I need it. I need it.
So I'll take it.
We got a lot to look forward to on the show. So thank you everyone for tuning in, regardless of what platform you're on. It is much appreciated. And if that platform is one in which liking the stream is a thing, now would be a great time to do that. So everybody gets the notifications, knows we're live and all that. And if you wanna send us any tweets, comments, super chats, anything as we go, that would be great. We'll respond during our little social breaks. But with all that said, Francesca, are you ready to start the show?
See.
Okay. We're gonna start off with bad news.
Oh, damn.
More heavily armored officers arrive, but no one gives the order to go in. Then suddenly a new round of gunfire. But after those gunshots, Arredondo again tries to talk with the shooter.
Can you hear me, sir?
And again, minutes later.
Sir, if you can hear me, please put your firearm down, sir. We don't want anybody else hurt.
I know.
That's what we're doing. We're trying to get him out.
After no response, police still stand around without much urgency. Over the course of the next nearly 30 minutes, we see more officers arrive.
So a lot came out over the weekend, a big report looking into the response or basically non-response from law enforcement in that Uvalde, the devastating shooting, as well as new body cam footage. And look, I think that there's a lot there that we got to dive into. There's also some stuff baked into it that I think people are missing and I want to reiterate. So we're going to get to that too. But overall, the bottom line is nearly 400 local, state, and federal law enforcement officers were at the scene that day, including 91 state troopers, none of whom moved to lead the response. 400 people with, I think it's safe to say, the equipment, the training, and the obligation to do something. And there's certainly, when you watch the video, there are cops there saying, why aren't we going in? Why aren't we doing so? There were people there who wanted to act. But nobody, none of the many people who could have taken control of the situation chose to do so, Arredondo being, I think, at the top of that list. And by the way, he had written the active shooter response plan for that school district as Pete Arredondo. He'd assigned himself as incident commander, but did not follow the protocol that he himself had set up. He was on the site. You saw him in the video trying to, I guess, talk down the shooter. At one point, someone is screaming to the shooter, this can be peaceful. At that point, many people had already died, of course. But anyway, while this report that came out, it doesn't make clear if lives could have been saved with a swifter response, it left open the possibility. Well, isn't that open-minded of the report? Mm-hmm. See, it's the report that did it. No human was involved. The report coalesced from the cosmic dust of creation. And so no one is responsible for the proclamations of the report, just the paper itself. But there's a lot more bad stuff here, Francesco, think of what we found out over the weekend.
I mean, I definitely think that it's good. The report basically like blamed all law enforcement, including, you know, the Customs and Border Patrol folks that were on the scene. Pretty much everyone. Every, like, there's 400 of you. And none of y'all in all of your infinite training and weaponry decide that you need to go in right now. 78 minutes later is when you go in. It's insane. Arredondo in that clip is saying, sir, we don't want any more violence. This is a madman. This is someone who's gone into a school and has opened fire. You already know they crashed their car, right? So like, oh no, no. I mean, maybe it's like a really level-headed mass shooter. You know those? Mm-hmm. You know those ones? No, man, this is not a heist. We're not at a bank here. We're in a school and you can hear, I'm sorry, you guys. You can hear children screaming. We can't, they can't. Yeah. They know there are people injured there and they know there are people who are dead, right? And so the decision was, oh, are they dead or are they kind of dead? And they decided they're dead. So we're not gonna go, it's just too late. It's too late. Yeah, that's what it was. And Arredondo, by the way, before we move on, he was about to be on city council. Mm-hmm. So this is a guy who was not thinking about his own protocol. He was thinking about his political career. And that's just so funny.
His eyes are cast forward to city council, then maybe mayor, governor someday, President Arredondo, so that he could fail hundreds of millions of people rather than that specific community.
I hear that's how you do it, Sean.
That's how you do it. I'm glad that they, look, the report makes pretty clear how bad this was. It does pull its punches needlessly, I think, in some places. Like, for instance, I'm gonna go ahead and graphic 5. Other than the attacker, this report did not find any villains in the course of its investigation. There is no one to whom we can attribute malice or ill motives. Instead, we found systemic failures and egregious poor decision making. So for instance, we're pointing out, you know, the cops and all that, the army of law enforcement, the army of guns that they had. But they also cite a culture of non-compliance from school administrators who are aware of unsafe practices, such as teachers routinely leaving doors unlocked or propping them open, and the shortage of keys for interior and exterior entrances. Poor internet and mobile coverage interfered with teachers receiving lockdown notifications and being able to report the attack to local police. Yeah, that is interesting. You know, the most interesting thing about it is that it's effing like irrelevant. He's gonna get in. The locked door isn't gonna stop the guy with the AR. Oh, the teachers didn't find out about the lockdown. Well, except for the notifications, they got the rapid fire notifications as each bullet left the chamber of the rifle. I think that was their notification. Being able to report the attack to local police. No. The police were there relatively fast. That's kind of part of the issue, that they didn't act. No, this is not on the Wi-Fi, it's not on the teachers, it's not on the doors, okay? And I want to go to my main point here, because when this report comes out saying hundreds of cops, they all failed, and we rightfully get incensed. Why weren't they braver? Why wasn't their organization? Why didn't they rush in? And every one of those impulses is right to have. It is your ethical obligation to be frustrated by those things. But like I said on day one, the solution to the problem wasn't a good apple. The solution to the problem wasn't Arredondo saying, let's go in there, storm the barricade. Because you know what you would have had, even if they'd done that in minute 3, you would have potentially saved some lives, and that would be a good thing. But you know what else you would have had? A whole bunch of dead people, because they were already dead, okay? Moving in there solves some of the needless additional problems. It doesn't solve the fundamental problem, which is that someone could go to a store and buy a gun capable of killing tons of people in a very short period of time. That's the problem. And no amount of rapid response or SWAT or extra training or a faster alert system is going to stop that fundamental problem. And my fear is that when people see this report, they say, oh, it's the cops. They need better training. They need a better chain of command. No, that'll solve the cops' problem. It won't solve America's problem, which is the access to the weaponry in the first place.
Absolutely. And you can see that because there are 400 of them, and it's not just chain of command, you guys. They're scared. The cops are scared. And this is not the first mass shooting where cops have hesitated. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, also a police officer, was on scene, hesitated, did not want to go in. Until the police join the majority of people in this country to advocate for tougher gun safety laws, and for actually getting assault weapons off the streets, We're all going to be victimized. And they know it more than anyone else. Why are they cowering in fear when they know it's one person? They already know it's one person. They already know, even in their best scenario, which is a gunman is barricaded by himself, mm-hmm. or at least by himself, the only person who's alive by himself, which was maybe not even the, how did they know? How did they know?
Exactly.
But anyway, even if we were to assume that, they were still afraid to go in. Why? Because nobody wants to die. Because everyone understands how powerful an AR-15 is. Everyone understands these kinds of weapons. And yeah, it's scary as hell. Now, you can say that is your training, that is your job. I would agree with that. But I'd also say that maybe no one should be put in that position where they're staring down the barrel of a high-powered semi-automatic weapon of war like this.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's borne out by the fact that you'll notice that the conversation around Uvalde is that the cops didn't rush in. But that's not the conversation in a lot of these situations. I mean, Stoneman Douglas had a similar sort of thing a bit with a security guard, but that wasn't the conversation around some of these others, because in some of the other of the many school shootings that we've had in America, there doesn't appear to be evidence that the cops waited. Mm-hmm. You had brave cops who rushed in, doing things that most of us can't imagine doing and in all likelihood couldn't do. They were brave. And in those cases, you still had tons of people dead. That is the proof of this. Yes. Them rushing in and shooting the shooter, that is good once we've already had the inevitable outcome of our completely non-existent gun policy here in America. That's a solution to the problem we created, okay? But the actual solution means that you don't have to roll the dice on the bravery of an individual cop.
Yeah.
You know, and if I could just briefly go ahead. The police chief is on leave. We'll see. We'll see what ends up happening with that. All of the, not just the failure on that day, but all the lies about the attempted cover up, even that footage we were showing you. The mayor had to unilaterally release that and might get in trouble because of it. Like, they're still trying to cover it up. There was another shooting, many shootings, by the way. We're not gonna be able to talk about all of them because this is America. Over the weekend, Indiana Mall, gunman killed 3 people. And hey, they were lucky. There was, in this case, a good guy with a gun who took out the shooter. And hey, we were doubly lucky because in this particular case, the cops didn't arrive and then shoot the good guy with the gun, as happens every once in a while.
Yep,
and so we don't have a problem, because a guy can go and buy a gun and go to a mall and shoot a bunch of people. And maybe there's another gun nearby. So, problem solved. No change of policy necessary, Francesca.
No, but it's insane. And including in the Uvalde report, right? There's a police officer who wants to open fire on a man who's also running away and who's dressed in black. He was told not to open fire. Turns out that was a PE teacher. So good, great. I'm glad, you know, right? And you're exactly right. You're never gonna know where the gunfire, I'm reminded of the Las Vegas shooting. What was it, 60 some odd people dead, murdered, just like picked off one by one. And you had so many people who were armed there. And I think it was one of the bands who was like, we didn't know where the gunfire was coming from. How are we supposed to just fire willy-nilly back into the crowd and make things even worse? Sometimes, I mean, come on, like look at the Highland Park shooter. Also, picking off people from a vantage point. How do you know where they're coming from? So yeah, you're exactly, oh yay, this one instance. But mark our words, we know what the right is gonna pick up on in that report. The teachers didn't lock the doors. Oh, it's the teachers. You know, maybe you know what? Maybe we shouldn't have school. It's mostly CRT anyway. We should just do away with it. They can't handle a mass shooter. You can't handle my kid.
Yeah, I mean, you're 3% exaggerating. I mean, that is much.
Like a little bit, a degree.
Exactly, yeah. So, I'm glad that the report came out. This will probably result in more funding going to the cops, honestly. Like, let's keep it real about what effect a report like this is likely to have. If more cops and more guns were the solution, at what point between 1 and 400 cops should we have expected that to kick in? And yet it didn't. It didn't. Okay, with that said, we are going to take the first break of our hour. When we come back, a hard-hitting ad from an awesome politician, a candidate who's appeared on our own show, striking back against the destruction of Roe v. Wade. We're going to have that for you and more after this. Cutting it close there. But with that said, we're gonna jump into a political ad. The imagery is intense. So consider yourself warned as we start off.
On June 24th, the Supreme Court voted to overturn Roe v. Wade and created a real life horror story for women in America. This decision has stripped the rights to a legal and safe abortion from millions of women in this country. It does not, however, stop abortions from happening. Countries that restrict abortions have a higher rate of abortion than countries that don't.
That is Gary Chambers, friend of the show, who's running for Senate in Louisiana, responding to the destruction of Roe v. Wade. And we're gonna show you more of the ad. Bear in mind, you might've been able to guess from the beginning, his ads are intense, understandably so. So bear that in mind as we continue.
Women in poverty are less likely to be able to afford safe methods of abortion and also risk being blackmailed to receive services and maintain confidentiality. Cases of severe hemorrhaging, poisoning, infection, or damage to internal organs are all life-threatening results that hospitals will now be faced with. I am an ordained minister, and regardless of what we all believe in, we choose those beliefs for ourselves. For scripture says in Corinthians, "For why is my liberty being judged by another man's conscience?" The government, comprised of mostly white men, has no place to decide for women what is right for them. The ability for any woman in America to make choices concerning her own health is a natural, basic democratic right of every woman. Abortions won't end, but this democracy will if the government refuses to stay out of people's personal choices. Make no mistake about it, women will die, and there's nothing pro-life about that. I'm Gary Chambers, and I'm running for the US Senate to be one of the votes needed to codify a woman's right to choose as the law of the land.
Yeah, his ads are incredibly raw. And also, by the way, 100% accurate. Some people who are on the right side of this issue might not like seeing that. And I get it. The reality that we are entering into as a country can be triggering, can be incredibly upsetting. Many of the people who will complain about this ad, though, on the other side, don't want to see it and don't want you to see it, because they are perfectly fine with what you saw in that video happening in the abstract. They don't want it to be focused on, they'd prefer that you not think about it, but they're perfectly fine with that happening. They know that it's inevitable. They are pushing for the world depicted in that video.
No, they think also similar to the story of the 10-year-old who was raped and had to seek an abortion in a neighboring state, who whose story they disbelieved and will continue to disbelieve. That will be common, as well as what we saw in that video will be common. You guys, this is not ancient history. You know, I just watched the HBO doc The Janes on HBO, there we go, which is about women before Roe v. Wade was passed, getting their abortions from the mafia, random shady characters they didn't know, and going to a weird hotel room, being treated really, really brusquely, and then being left with another woman or whomever else to bleed out effectively and being left alone. And then they had to then call 911. That was the protocol. It was like, we'll do the abortion, you're gonna bleed, then you're gonna call 911. Like, that's what will happen. That was in this like late 60s.
Yeah.
And this, obviously, the Janes really took it up. I mean, they were like a clandestine abortion clinic that were run by women and were incredibly dope and did heroic work. But like, it's not, the right is gonna look at that and be like, that never happens. No, it does happen all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And they're perfectly happy, fine with that. I like, by the way, that Gary Chambers pointed out the possibility for blackmail. Yeah, there's the immediate health consequence, there's the added cost and everything. And then also, you're doing something that they've decided is gonna be illegal. And so think about the exploitation that could come about as a result of that, that will come about. Like, we've talked about this sort of thing, what, hundreds of times through the course of this show and your show and the network and everything.
Yeah.
We were talking about it as a, don't let this happen because it'll be bad. Now we're talking about what is set to happen.
Yeah.
States are outlawing it as we speak. And I know some people will be like, no, but you're still kind of exaggerating. There's so many people in like the legacy media, they're like, no, don't even, people are freaking out. But like, eventually in a couple of years, it'll settle down and we'll all have agreed on 15 weeks as a ban or whatever, never mind that many states have already gone way beyond that. No. You do not understand if you're one of these people who are so disconnected, where the news that they're covering is It is just a career. There's no human cost to it. They are racing past that. And I'm not speaking hypothetically. At the Idaho GOP convention in Twin Falls this weekend, delegates approved changes to the party platform that criminalizes all abortions without exceptions for rape, incest, or even to save the life of the mother. No, we keep getting told, why are you freaking out? There's always gonna be the exceptions. They're not heartless, cruel people. They'll have the exceptions for rape and incest, and obviously for the life of the mother. Why would you imply, you radical, that we wouldn't do that? No, they just did it. It wasn't close, by the way. Delegates voted 412 to 164 to reject an amendment that would have allowed an exception if the mother's life was in, quote, lethal danger. And they say, we affirm that abortion is murder from the moment of fertilization. All children should be protected regardless of the circumstances of conception, including persons conceived in rape and incest. And they're willing to go on the record by name. Scott Herndon, who's running for the Idaho Senate and is unopposed, he'll get in, says, we will never win this human rights issue, the greatest of our time, if we make allowances for the intentional killing of another human being. You don't put to death the innocent child for the crime of its father, but that's what this law would allow. He added that if a mother really wants to kill her child, she could lie, say she was raped, file a police report, and go get her child killed in the state of Idaho, and nobody be persecuted. He's fine with her dying, literally, needlessly dying. That's what they're pushing for. They're monsters.
What innocent child are we talking about in this case? I'm sorry, what innocent? Are you talking about the fetus? Are you talking about the 10-year-old or 11-year-old or 12-year-old who will be raped by their father or by a father figure or anyone, a neighbor, and then become pregnant as a result of that rape? Are you talking about that child? Because that's actually a child. You're talking about them losing their life if they are forced to give birth to a baby? What are you talking about here? No, all this is rape apology. It is green light for incest, for rape. This is the party that claims they hate pedophiles. They think that dressing in drag means violence against children, right? They think that you're teaching kids, the don't say gay people, the don't say gay party, now making excuses for rapists and actual pedophiles.
Yep.
I mean, there are no words, I mean, to say nothing of these MFers. First of all, I don't even have to look. They're all men and they have no idea how the female reproductive system works. They have no idea. They clearly they don't have wives or kids, and no one's ever had a miscarriage. No one's ever had to had any kind of emergency in their pregnancy. Amazing. Bless you for living on some other place, but it ain't Earth.
They would be offended by you implying they should know or give a damn about any of that. Yep. They would find that to be presumptuous.
Beautiful Idaho.
So Idaho will lead the way and the others will follow. It is, as I keep trying to reiterate, an ideological inevitability. You cannot tell your base for 50 years that this is murder. Oh, but murder's okay in some cases.
Yep.
I mean, murder's bad, sure, but that was rape. So we're gonna give an exception. No, these people are bloodthirsty. Not most people. Most people don't agree with this any more than they agree with Roe v. Wade being taken away in the first place. It's always gonna be a small minority. It's gonna be 25 to 33% of the country that believes that the state can mandate that a person die, you know, needlessly during a pregnancy that would never have come to term. And they will push for in whatever state they can. And by the numbers, they shouldn't be able to win on this issue in literally any state. In a democracy, that would be. But we don't live in one. Their position has always been massively amplified by all the structural inequities in our quote unquote democracy. And so they'll get it in Idaho and they'll get it in Mississippi and they'll get it in Alabama and Louisiana and eventually Texas, and it's gonna spread and spread and spread. And we are going to be, it's like all those stories that we've covered, things that'll happen in, you know, Ireland or in South America, a needless, easily preventable death. We're gonna be doing that. We're just gonna be identifying, hey, it's this state this week. And then, another person died in Louisiana this week, totally needlessly, unless they can be airlifted to a state in our particular century.
But you guys, and finally, we need to reclaim the mantle of family values. So many people who need abortions, so many people who need this life-saving procedure want to be parents. Yeah, okay, you could say they want to be parents in the future. They don't want to be parents right now, but they also, like, I am 6 months pregnant, y'all. If something were to happen, I would need a life-saving procedure that if I lived in Idaho and if something like this passed, my life is foregone. Mm-hmm. Well, what if the fetus can't survive? Well, then you both die. Why? I don't know, God.
Yeah.
So it
morality.
These are people who by choice want to be parents. And they're saying, no, it's about maternal health care. My God, will a right winger volunteer to pay for all of my prenatal care? And just show me that you give a damn about mothers, you give a damn about families. You don't. You really don't.
No, River and I on Friday were talking about in Texas, this isn't politicians just yet. It's the pro-life activists. They want to outlaw IVF.
Yeah.
But you said you want more kids. These are insane people. It is a cult that has enough members that they get to determine what rights you have. That's what we have in this country. Okay, we're gonna move on to our next story. Oh, okay. Well, not exactly lightening it up necessarily, but the theme of this block is next steps for the cult. So let's get into another one of them.
So Obergefell, like Roe versus Wade, ignored two centuries of our nation's history. Marriage was always an issue that was left to the states.
So from Clarence Thomas to now a Republican senator, it isn't enough to take away reproductive rights. Now they're coming for same-sex marriage. We knew that it was coming. They can't wait for that battle. Listen to more from Ted Cruz.
In Obergefell, the court said, no, we know better than you guys do. And now every state must sanction and permit gay marriage. I think that decision was clearly wrong when it was decided. It was the court overreaching.
Okay, so that's Ted Cruz speaking with a host who had kind of like a bored look on her face. I get it. He's boring. It's possible she was distracted because as he was speaking, maybe she was wondering which of her rights would be stripped away next. No, I bet she's actually down for this, unfortunately. But anyway, no, they're saying we've now had same-sex marriage legalized federally for multiple years. All of their insane apocalyptic predictions about what would happen, the downfall of humanity, our country would go the way of Rome, never made any sense. And they definitely didn't want a trial run of it because they knew none of that could make any sense. It couldn't come true. So now we've had it for years. Millions and millions of people have gotten married. It's had no negative impact whatsoever. But regardless, that might be next. It might go back to the states, which, look, they'll say go back to the states because they don't want to say what they want to do. They want overnight 25 states to break apart all of those marriages, break apart all of those families. The pro-life Family Values Party is going to identify 10, 20, 30, 40 million families. And they are going to, by the power of government, separate them.
It's just incredible. Oh my God. Just like Christian nationalist Colonel Sanders up there giving away the ghost, telling everybody what they're going to do. They are gunning for gay marriage in the same way that we know that abortion rights are not only is Roe being overturned, but they're gunning for a complete ban on abortion. And yes, including in cases of rape, incest, and the health of the mother. But here you have the broader plan from the Supreme Court and the fact that when you roll back certain rights based on the Constitution, which, yeah, we know doesn't say abortion, you dumb idiots. Like, we know it's based on the right to privacy. Don't you guys love that when it comes to your guns and your money? Well, what about your body? Arguably things a little bit closer to home, although who knows? I don't know where you keep your gun, let's be real. Mm-hmm. Like when it comes to like who you sleep with, who you marry, whether you wanna like grow another human life inside of you for 9 months. No. Then it's totally fine. It's not overreach. That's not overreach. It's court overreach to say you can sleep with and marry whomever you want. But it's like God reaches all things. Like, what is the logic here? There is no logic. So not only do Democrats need to reclaim the mantle of family values, but also the right to privacy. I absolutely think, yes, of course, abortion is a right. Of course, the right to marry is a right. But also, we have to remember what these rights were even based on. And they are based on the Constitution.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's gonna be gay marriage, then it's gonna be same sex, you know, anti-sodomy laws are gonna be A-okay. Mm-hmm. Then who knows? Maybe it's gonna be Loving versus Virginia, and Clarence Thomas is gonna be like, oh, Ginny, it's been real. It's been real.
Yeah, yeah. And these are, you know, like, we're gonna see it trickle down. Nick Fuentes was saying the anti-sodomy laws should come back. And not just for same-sex couples, by the way, for straight couples too. Like, it's a small government. That's what they want, which has just the capacity to find out exactly what sort of foreplay you're getting up to. That's what they want. It was always a ruse. The government is supposed to be small when it comes to the rich and corporations and maybe your guns. And that's really where it ends. In every other area, whatever misinterpretation they have of the Bible, that's where the government can get into your life. But I know what you're saying. That's Ted Cruz. Does it really matter? No one else could possibly agree with him on that. Oh, wait. We're getting an update. Josh Hawley says, I think that Obergefell was wrongly decided. And Lindsey Graham says, I leave it up to the court. And Mike Braun, he was asked about interracial marriage. And he says he would be okay, whether he would be okay with the Supreme Court leaving the question of interracial marriage of the states. He replied, yes.
Yep.
So, like, I can't even keep up with the things that they want to strip away. We do a daily show. And we are just trying to catch up to all of the different rights they want to strip away, the different couples they want to break apart, and all of this so that their taxes won't go up. All of it. And like, maybe there's a couple of conservatives watching this, like we want to help you. Do you get how you're being conned? Do you think that Ted Cruz, millionaire Ted Cruz, actually gives a damn about any of this? No, he just really hopes that he can get you to focus on it. Focus on it so much that you won't realize that your wages aren't keeping up with inflation, and you can't afford a home, and you don't have health insurance, or even if you do, you could still face medical bankruptcy if the inevitable outcome of the American diet comes to your home. That's what this is all about. They're gonna find a boogeyman so that you sink slowly into an early economic grave and don't even notice as it's happening.
I do think it will backfire on them. I mean, not with this president who doesn't even want to talk about expanding the court, which is really the only thing we can do. But I do think politically this will backfire on them. I'm not a like just go vote person. I do think it's important. But what in the year 2022, rolling back these basic rights now? And again, like granted, remember Trump was sailing on xenophobia and racism. Stick to that. You had gay people, you had log cabin Republicans who were like, hell yeah, build the wall. That was crushing. That was super crushing. This, not gonna crush. I'm sorry. I do think it will backfire.
I hope so. I hope so. Wouldn't it be great to have someone on our side? Wouldn't it be great to not just have our defense be, I hope it doesn't work?
No.
But with Joe Biden, man, what else can we hope for right now?
I mean, in quick caveat okay. to what I just said, like, I'm not saying you throw people of color under the bus in exchange for these issues, but we have to understand that all of these are part of the same white supremacist, capitalist, patriarchal system that we live in, right? That we can't separate out women's issues from LGBTQ issues, from racial justice issues, from economic justice issues. It is all one and the same. It is part of their platform. It is part of their whole Machiavellian, like, you know, worldview. Right?
Yeah.
And so let's not be divided here as we move forward or pit one another against one another on what's a bigger, more important pressing issue. No, we need to do something about policing. We need to do something around racial justice. We've done zero in this administration. So anywho, y'all know that.
Yeah, no. We're not in favor of setting up a vulnerable groups hunger game, basically, which is unfortunately what we're often asked to play.
Exactly.
Okay, with that, we are going to take our second break. We come back. Someone is speaking up in defense of Joe Biden and kind of roasting him and his presidency unknowingly at the same time. That'll be a little bit of fun after this. Now, I want to be very clear. I've never referred to a newborn baby as that thing. I mean the process of birth. And boy, if you're coming in and not having seen The Social Break, you have no clue what we're talking about. But anyway, with that,
just became an anti-choicer in the break. You better finish that thing. That's what Republicans are saying. Just ate that whole baby.
That's not 100% accurate, okay? Anyway, with that, RC Tycoon says Fran will just have a noisy co-host all the time. Hashtag baby dragon, hashtag co-host.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, well, with that, let's jump into some more fun, everybody. Jill Biden is the first lady, so we get that she's going to have the back of Joe Biden, but she's doing it in a way that I don't know if it's really getting across the message that she thinks it is. So she says the president had so many hopes when he got into office, but the problems of the moment came first. So we want to give you some more details there. She says the president had so many hopes and plans for things he wanted to do, but every time he turned around, he had to address the problems of the moment. This was during a fundraising event in Nantucket. Said he's just had so many things thrown his way. Who would have ever thought about what happened with the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade? Well, maybe we saw it coming, but we still didn't believe it. The gun violence in this country is absolutely appalling. We didn't see the war in Ukraine coming. Now, we have more comments of hers to get to, but I'm gonna take issue with a little bit of her strategy or her view, her narrative here. First of all, most of the things you just cited happened like a year into his presidency. Where are the excuses for the first 12 months, Jill Biden? And it is, we have to admit an admission that when we say as progressives that he hasn't gotten much done, and the head in the sand centrist will be like, how could you say that? Mm-hmm. He's done so much. Well, on our side is Jill Biden, because she's saying he had a lot of hopes, but what are you gonna do? Circumstances intervened. She's being clear. He didn't do nearly as much as he might have planned. It's kind of a rose-tinted glasses view of his motivations to begin with, Francesca, but she seems to be on her side that he could have done a lot more.
I guess that, yeah, but I'm also like, I really, and Vice President Kamala Harris made a similar point after the Dobbs decision, which was like, you know, it's different when it actually happens. We sort of felt like it could have, but it just feels a little different. Like, oh yeah, you think it feels a little different? You're in power. What have you been doing about this? We saw this coming. Why do you think there was a massive outpouring the day, the week after Trump was elected, called the Women's March, one of the biggest, if not the biggest mass demonstration in American history? It was because we all saw that our rights could be on the chopping block. And we all saw these decisions coming down the pike. And so to be honest with you, like, of course, they're never gonna talk about Republicans, because it's just, you know, they talk about like the things being rolled back as if it's just a change in the weather. I wonder who's doing this. Gee, no, it's the hand of God that's just sort of rolling all these rights back. No, you know who it is. It's Republicans. You've known their plan. You've known their plan inside and outside the courts. They've had dark money funneling into all of these Supreme Court justice nominations, including other federal judgeships. Come on, wake up. So when we get told that we're freaking out unnecessarily, or that they've got it, or let the adults of the room handle it, because we know how to RNC whisper, like we know how to Mitch McConnell whisper. No, you don't. You're asleep at the wheel. You have no idea. And look, you say now you're blindsided. Give me a break.
Yeah. Do you want to be furious?
Yes, I know. I know what's coming. I know it gets worse. I know.
Listen to this next graphic. Jill Biden says she told her own family members they should think about doing more than protesting. Quote, so many young girls, my own grandchildren included, went up to the Supreme Court and marched. I say, okay, good for you, but what are you gonna do next? You feel good about yourself because you voiced your opinion, but what are you gonna do next? What is your plan? And I don't have enough FUs to give to Jill Biden from that. Your husband is the president of the United States, and you're going to your 10-year-old grandchildren saying, what's your plan, Sally? What was his plan? The rights were stripped away on his watch, and that's just one issue. We could go through a bunch. You're taking issue with little Emma? Mm-hmm. You think Emma's the problem? Oh yeah, well, how are you gonna reform the Supreme Court? talk to Joe. He's technically in charge.
She's so uppity, you know? She's just all into her TikTok or whatever. Get a job. Like, what are we? This is a girl who is the same age, again, as the young girl who was raped in Ohio and had to go seek an abortion in Indiana. Or you gonna as she comes back to Ohio, be like, well, what's your plan to fix it, young lady? Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. I mean, if there's no better like signifier than the adults have left the building. Yeah. Like, absolutely. Like, cause I bet that granddaughter will be like, are you for real? Like, could I be in charge? Cause I'm pretty sure I could do this better than either of you guys. Pop, pop.
Exactly. So the pop, pop. Or by the way, I have no idea how old their grandchildren are, but as who said it? It just so flames on the side of my face, flames. Blue Lizard Guts is totally right. How dare you, Jill Biden, stop talking to Wee Sally and go talk to Kyrsten Sinema, okay? If you want to talk to someone who's really concerned about being cute all the time, but that might have some influence over the process, I'd start with Sinema and not with Sally, okay? Sally can't even vote. And even if she could, that's not the solution because we already did that. We gave you power. You got the House, you got the Senate, you got the White House. What are you doing with it? And I get that she's not the president, but arguably she can ring him up on the phone and talk to him about his lack of plan.
It's amazing. You know, you could throw the same thing back at her. That's so cute. Wow. So you won the presidency. You must feel really good about yourself. Yay. Mm-hmm. But what are you going to do next, Jill? What are you going to do with all this power? What's your plan, Jill and Joe?
Yeah.
Incredible. It just absolutely incredible. You know what my plan is, man? Lighten your home on fire. Like, she should just be like, I'm occupying the White House, Mima, right now. Yeah. Just like you hear a click and she's just like chained herself to her grandma. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's right. Her plan would be pick up a power drill and tell me which port is Joe Manson's yacht docked in tonight?
Yeah, yeah. You thought 20 bucks every Christmas was going to shut me up? Nuh-uh. Nuh-uh, Mima.
God, these people. His approval. I know there are many naysayers who say we'll get slammed in the midterms. Okay, the Republicans are working hard. They stick together for good or evil. So we just have to work hard. First of all, not for good or evil. How the hell do you not know which of those two they've chosen? They've been very clear about it. And so we have to work harder. Stop saying we when you mean y'all, okay? We need to work harder means that you also need to do something. You just mean y'all should vote, okay? If that's what you mean, say that, okay? You can be clear about it.
Just such big one-term energy. Most one-term energy. You think Trump had one-term energy? I mean, he either had like one-term or forever energy. This is just the most one-term president energy.
Yeah, and by the way, like generally attacks against the first lady, I'm not down for dumb, shallow, stupid shit. That has nothing to do with anything, mark that. This is her directly spitting in the face of all the voters and mirroring the commentary of all of the quote unquote moderates, by the way. This is not her being a wild card. She is advancing the narrative they would love you to believe going into the presidency. Anyway, with that said, and hopefully no more swears coming, we're gonna move into the last story of the first hour, starting with this.
Yes.
I don't want him to.
I like what he stands for. I like what he does, but he upset too many people and he upset them really bad. So I don't think he's good for the party.
Should Donald Trump run for office and you go and you talk to people, maybe outside of a cafe, and then you get a little montage of, no, they're not actually feeling it anymore. Now, you've probably seen stuff like this, maybe the Republican Accountability Project, maybe the Lincoln Project or whatever. Like showing that Trump voters are moving on from him. No, that was posted on Fox News. Fox News Digital, mind. Tucker Carlson's not necessarily going near that yet, but this is interesting. These little rumblings of, oh, maybe they're switching to the DeSantis bus. Take a look at more.
You know what? I voted for him for my
my very first time I voted for him, I don't think it'll be best for our country for him to run for re-election. You know, I'm thankful for everything that he's done, but I think that our Republican Party needs to be united.
At this point, he's a little too polarizing, and I think that there are candidates out there, Republican candidates, obviously, that maybe be able to pull in people that he would lose to be able to change this.
I would like to see, you know, Governor DeSantis or someone like that, some new blood in the race.
DeSantis run for president, and if he wants to, then he can pick up Donald as the vice president.
100% DeSantis. There's no question about it.
Well, I'm a DeSantis fan as well. Donald Trump had a great run. I thought he was a great president while he was president. After the fact, I think we've seen a lot of divisiveness that's come from things, and I wouldn't vote for him in a primary, but the policy that he was able to do, I would probably vote for him in an election, but not a primary.
Okay, so there's a lot of nonsense there. But anyway, I have spent what feels like, I'm gonna say 30 years now, having to talk about Donald Trump. And at every step along the way, I have attempted to insult him as burningly and devastatingly as possible. But I don't think I've ever achieved I think DeSantis should be president, and maybe he can pick up Trump as his VP. Oh, shot through the heart. And Fox News Digital is to blame. That was pretty good, Francesca. This was a choice that they made. They went and interviewed those people. They cut out all of the pro DeSantis stuff to stuff into that thing. Spicy stuff.
He's a loser. I mean, I think it comes down to that. It's so amazing to hear people like, he got a little divisive. Like, oh yeah, really? He started his campaign calling Mexicans rapists. He got divisive? Tight. No, it's because he's a loser. It's because he lost. I bet they even liked what happened on January 6th, but they were like, I don't know, a little too much. A little too much on the feces for me. I just love this. I have to say, I don't envision a 2024 in which Donald Trump can step aside to allow Ron DeSantis to be the nominee for the Republican Party. I mean, he will, and maybe he'll rightfully lose to Ron DeSantis. Mm-hmm. And then we're effed if Joe Biden is the pick. We are, but that's farther down the line. But I don't see a passing of the MAGA crown to DeSantis. What about you?
I mean, look, we've been following this as it's developed. I mean, we know apparently Trump's fundraising is down. DeSantis is raising more money now. Now, granted, this is when DeSantis is driving the news constantly by like picking a group in Florida to demonize and just lie about it. Trump largely hasn't been making news. He cannot wait to announce, and it is coming soon, way sooner than normally you would announce for an election that's still a couple of years away. So any day now he could do it. But and by the way, Trump is still winning in the polls against DeSantis. But every month DeSantis narrows that gap, and it's going to be very exciting. Devastating, by the way. None of this is good, and DeSantis becoming president is a different sort of dystopic nightmare. Mm-hmm. But if you think that boring has that the news has been a bit boring over the past year or so, wait until, if they go at it, it is going to be scorched earth like you've never seen in a primary before. That's my prediction.
I don't know. And then you'll have Ted Cruz in there being like, "But I would like to speak. I grew a beard, and I would like to be remembered for that." Exactly. And like, it just, and everyone's gonna be like, "Shut up, Ted. We still don't like you. Stop." But that's good. I mean, look, Fox News putting it even on the digital platform says something. They're trying to drop subtle hints.
It does, and they're gonna be attacked for it. Yeah, and in the end, Ted Cruz is going to get 2% of the vote. The possum on his face is going to get 1% of the vote. He's not going to make a big splash, really. Anyway, with that said, those of you watching just the first hour on the podcast, linear platforms, that sort of thing, thank you so much for watching. We really do appreciate it. Those of you watching the full show, don't go anywhere because we got a lot of stuff to talk about. One of the most ridiculous anecdotes I've ever heard, and more, with me and Francesca coming up after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.